What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, number 127, Meals High School Athletes, or Athletes in General, Can Make. So we're talking with registered dietitian Brett Singer. He's been on here before, and we had him when we were at the Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine Update. So Brett is working for Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute at the Woodlands. Had a long drive down here this morning. And then Miss Rita Zapian, she is a registered dietitian working for HEB, which is our preferred grocery store for my family. So that's where my wife always shops, is HEB. So she is joining us to kind of talk about some of the meals that is more fitting for high school kids and specifically for our population here, which is lower income and predominantly Hispanic population. So she kept that in mind when she bought the groceries and came up with some ideas for meals. So I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, sitting right beside me.
Jose.
Shakira.
Gabby.
And then from U of H, we have
Nicole Kasha.
Matt Barnes.
Matthew.
Jess.
And Jess. All right, so if you want to join our conversation, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, using hashtag DSMB. Bob's on Twitter watching that. Ustream social feature. Bernice is over there watching that. The links to all that stuff is on our website. And if you log in, you can earn the CEUs. You can type in your questions there, and Shakira should be able to see those. So without much further ado,
Mr. Singer, please tell us about yourself.
So I am a registered dietitian, like you mentioned. I have been a dietitian for almost about 5 years. So I started off in a clinical setting. So I worked in a hospital system for Memorial Hermann, and there I worked in oncology and cardiovascular nutrition, and then always wanted to work with athletes. So eventually got the opportunity to shift over to Ironman Sports Medicine Institute. And so there I am a sports dietitian. I work with all sorts of different athletes, anything ranging from first time, half marathon runners to professional athletes to high school athletes of all different types of sports. So I have a degree in nutrition, a master's in nutrition, and then I'm board certified in sports dietetics also.
Mrs. Zapian, the same question.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rita Zapian. I am the regional dietitian for HEB Grocery Stores. We're based here in Texas. Right now, I'm the only supermarket dietitian based in Houston. It's an expanding field. As Brett said, he started in clinical. I did as well. I worked in the Texas Medical Center for about 10 years and wanted to do a little something different, and that's when HEB came calling. So I really love working in the retail setting at the store, where the decisions are made for your families on what you're going to eat and what you're going to buy and how you're going to feed and fuel your families. I'm also a certified diabetes educator, especially being in Texas, and as you mentioned, with a high Hispanic population, an obese population. I also help our families in Texas find the healthier items that they need to make healthier meals. So that's a little bit about me.
All right, so Rita actually brought some groceries, and she hasn't disclosed the dollar value of the groceries yet. So Shakira, why don't you switch over to that camera and switch to, not to the other one, switch, there's one that has a closer view. There you go. All right, so can you see that well enough?
Yes.
All right, so can you briefly tell us what you brought?
Yes, so I tried to find foods at the store for your protein needs. I know Brett will go into this. Try to get your lean proteins, your fruits and vegetables, your whole grains, your dairy products. I was trying to think of what meals could be made on a limited amount of funds. So does anyone know how much money I spent on these foods? There's a little bit of canned products, fresh fruits and vegetables, frozen vegetables. You see some cheese in there. I brought some canned beans, some chicken broth, some eggs and peanut butter, and a nice cold glass of milk. You see that gallon of milk right there, and also some chicken as well.
Does All right, so we'll start with Jess. Jess, what's your guess?
60.
Matthew?
$60. 47.
Nicole?
25.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It was 25, actually.
Brett?
I'm going to say 50.
All right. Gabby?
30. Like 50.
Jose?
45.
All right. Go ahead. Reveal. Okay,
the magic number is $27. And you notice that I did predominantly buy all store brands. Do you know how much money you could save buying store brands versus national brands?
I would guess probably $15 extra dollars if you bought the national brands.
20%. Yeah, it was at least 20%.
Like the answer is 20 to 30% if you buy store brands. So think about that. And the quality is either the same or even better, improved over the national product. So think about the nutrition and also the quality, and I think you'll be surprised about our store brands as well.
All right, so one of the questions you asked, and I want to make sure we talk to the students before they end up having to leave, and also I don't know how long we can leave those groceries just sitting out here. So looking at those groceries, she asked y'all, what are some ideas that meals you might be able to make? So things that you might be able to cook or, you know, at home, things that you can bring here. And so as y'all were thinking about that, did anybody come up with any ideas, any thoughts? I'm going to have to call on somebody, huh? All right, Shakira.
Oh, I don't know.
Did you come up with anything? You ever cook at all?
Yeah, but I don't.
So there's tortillas up there, there's chicken, there's pasta, there's cheese, there's broccoli, there's eggs. Does anybody eat eggs for dinner? Yeah. See the tortillas, could you make migas for dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little oil, or you could even put chicken broth instead. See those corn tortillas right there? You got some rice. Let's see what else is up there, Jeremy. So do those look like foods that you would have at home?
Yeah.
Or are they completely, did I bring stuff that was off the wall?
Okay, so anybody have any idea? Foods?
Chicken with rice and vegetables.
Yeah, that seems like a great, it looks like there's like a stir fry type mix there. So you just cook the rice, cook the stir fry, the vegetables, and the chicken. Mm-hmm. Seems like it'd be pretty simple, really, really healthy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it does not have to be complicated. Mm-hmm. I think we'll figure that out. Like it doesn't have to be that difficult, and you don't need that many ingredients either to make a meal.
All right. So in any of that, it'd be hard for them to bring as leftovers, like the chicken, the rice, and the vegetables. But you also, I saw you also brought bread, peanut butter, banana. Those can be easily peanut butter and jelly sandwich, peanut butter banana sandwich, if somebody likes that. My kids love that. Peanut butter, banana, and honey. They love that.
Throw some fresh fruit in there for your snacks with that sandwich that you were talking about. Yeah. Peanut butter is really simple and easy. It takes 1 minute, literally.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I had yesterday for lunch.
All right, so any other ideas? Any other ideas? Nicole?
I mean, I'm good with banana and peanut butter for breakfast. That'd be my meal.
All right. Anybody else? Jose. Jose did not eat lunch today. Jose is one of my soccer players. He is a varsity soccer athlete. He did not eat lunch today because he didn't want to go to first lunch and eat. Brett, what are your thoughts there?
Not good. Jose, I played soccer as well. And I promise you, y'all did really well. Pasadena did well last year, or was it 2 years ago that was in the state final?
We were one win from the state tournament last year.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a big deal to be ready to train and available for practice. And so you're going to probably talk about the amount of energy that you need for practice. And when you're not having any food, that means probably the last meal you had before practice is breakfast. Breakfast isn't a big meal for a lot of high school students, so that may not have even been all that large. So how much energy do you have available to train as well as you want to?
So let's go ahead and check. Jose, what'd you eat for breakfast?
I drink water.
Water and bubble gum. And I saw he was eating some hot Cheetos and some fries that somebody left over. So
okay.
All right. So Rita, what are your thoughts there?
So Jose, right? So what options do you think that you could switch to that would be easy for you, with minimal prep time? And like Brett was saying, it doesn't have to be a cooked meal per se. It doesn't have to take an hour. It could take a few minutes. You have cereal at home?
Yeah, I love cereal.
Milk.
I'll say cereal.
Yogurt, eggs. What are your thoughts, Brett?
Yeah, I mean, the major focus is for any athlete, carbohydrates is a big aspect. So carbohydrates, where do they come from? They come from things like grains and they come from fruits. So cereals, rices, breads. And so what happens is when you're exercising or you're playing soccer, you burn or break down carbohydrates that are stored in your body. And that's your energy source. So that's what you pull from. The less you have available to start that practice session, the earlier you enter fatigue. So that means you get tired earlier on in that training session. So all of a sudden your ability to pass with precision or shoot or dribble, all the normal things that you would do, if the more fatigued you are, the more difficult that becomes. So when you have something like, let's say, fruit and cereal in the morning, that's carbohydrates that then get stored away. So that way, by the time practice rolls around, you have that energy to pull from. But when you don't have anything, that's a lot less energy to pull from. And so you become fatigued a lot earlier.
All right, Bob. Bob, what did you eat for lunch? Go ahead and tell me and I'll repeat it. What did you eat from Jack in the Box? Tacos and fries. What did you eat for breakfast, Bob?
Breakfast.
Cereal? All right. Very good. Very good. He's another one of our varsity soccer athletes. So he did much better, Bob. He's also a Taekwondo martial arts expert. He brought me some nunchucks the other day. We've been practicing. So I haven't hurt myself yet.
Yet.
Well, no, actually, I did. So, all right. So that's that for those guys. I really want you to pay attention here. All right. Like Brett just said, we went to the one game from the state tournament, And if you guys are prepared, then it could be that the difference between you making that one step that makes the striker or the shooter miss the ball or make that goal that would lose the game. Could be that difference, right?
Right. Because spring, correct me if I'm wrong, but playoffs are usually, they start right around the week after spring break.
Somewhere about there.
And so usually what you'll see a lot of kids make mistakes of is during spring break, they'll kind of let loose and eat a little unhealthy. And sometimes they'll gain weight or just slow down in general because they're not eating quite as well as they should. And sometimes you'll see poor performance in that first round of playoffs, second round of playoffs because of mistakes like that. So the higher level you get, the more minor the difference between the teams becomes. And so every little advantage that you can utilize is beneficial for your team.
All right, good. So right now we're sitting in second, third place, and we're poised to make the playoffs again. So remember this, share this with your teammates. We got that one little difference. Okay. All right. So we're going to get to a little bit more of the questions so we can hopefully take some notes. I know that on Twitter there were some people asking questions about supplements, but we'll get to that towards the end. So, Jose, we got your question up next.
Let's start with, what do most high school athletes need in their diet?
Okay, so I mentioned it earlier. I think the first thing that we should be seeing is just the total calories that an athlete needs. No one needs to know an exact number of how many calories they need, but I think one thing is, are athletes providing their bodies with enough energy to match the amount of exercise that they're doing? Because a lot of times with these high school athletes, they're training not only here, but also maybe on club teams or on their own at home. And so if athletes are losing significant amounts of weight during the season, that's usually a sign that they're not taking in enough calories. So usually we want to see for most high school athletes that they're maintaining their weight or even potentially adding weight, because most of you are still growing at this point. So that's one of the first things we want to see. The staple for any athlete's diet needs to be carbohydrates. I don't care really what sport you're playing, carbohydrates is going to be the main focal point. So I mentioned that with grains as a big aspect for carbohydrates, but also fruits you'll get from things like beans, dairy, starchy vegetables. So meaning things like peas, corn, potatoes, etc. But what I, you know, there's different visualizations or images that you can use, but one of the things that you can think about is on a plate, you would want half that plate to be made up of grains. So an athlete's diet should consist halfway grains, about a quarter of their plate should be something along the lines of vegetables. So any veggies that might be broccoli, spinach, carrots, etc. And then another quarter of that plate being some sort of protein. So meat, dairy, beans, and then a little bit of fruit on the side. So that's what I would visualize as the plate for an athlete.
After a game, what do an athlete has to eat?
So I mentioned earlier, so we all have carbohydrates stored in our body. And it's what happens is anytime we take in carbohydrates, carbohydrates get broken down into glucose. And glucose gets stored away in these little chains called glycogen. So that's essentially your storage of carbohydrates. And so the example I always use, an athlete during a soccer game, Jose, you can't be having a sandwich right in the middle of a game, right? That's not going to work. So what your body does is you'll actually pull from that storage or that glycogen. You'll break that down and utilize that for energy. And so during a game, you'll lose a lot of the carbohydrates that you store in your body. So now afterwards, we need to replace what we've lost. So that means first step is replenish the carbohydrates that you burn through. So that would be things like breads or sports drink or dairy or fruit or things like that, honey, jellies, jams. Those are all things that provide carbohydrates. Protein is another thing. So anytime we perform any sort of exercise, we break down muscle tissue. And so now the purpose of protein is to help repair muscle tissue and help that muscle adapt to the exercise that it's performed. And then the last thing is you want to provide some sort of fluids, because obviously when you train, what happens? You sweat, right? So we lose fluid, we lose electrolytes. So that means you need to be providing fluid to replenish that sweat that you've lost. So we talk about different examples of how to recover. And, you know, the one that gets thrown out is chocolate milk. And why that is because chocolate milk has sugar. So there's carbohydrates. It has protein. And it has, obviously, fluid, because it is liquid. And the benefit of that is milk versus water. Water, a lot of times what happens, if you just drink plain water, you're going to pee it out. there's nothing to slow down the absorption, and the faster it's absorbed, the more likely you are to urinate it out. But with milk, there's protein and carbohydrates in it, so we hold on to it and retain it better. So that means we actually rehydrate more so when we drink something like milk versus something like water.
Just in case you weren't sure you were talking to high school athletes, when you said pee it out,
uh-huh.
I saw three or four of them just like smile and giggle. So just in case you're wondering. So, all right. Rita, what are your thoughts on that?
I completely agree with Brett. I think carbohydrates are undervalued. I always tell my patients, I know I probably deal more with adults in the stores that may be overweight or have diabetes, but I tell them your carbohydrates are fueling you, they're hydrating you, that quick burst of energy or gasoline. Don't forget about them, because I see that all the time with adults, and then that transfers to their kids at home. So again, if you're playing sports, and I assume you're going to play sports for hopefully the rest of your life and be active, definitely fuel up on those carbohydrates. And do you have some examples on the table? I think you'd mentioned rice and grains, even tortillas are over there. The milk has the lactose for the carbohydrate as well. So definitely, he was talking about, I think, the plate, how to divide your plate up. And I always think about eating with color. You know, you just don't want everything brown on the plate like the fast food meal. So
yeah.
And the sodas too. You know, no nutrition in those either. I don't know if y'all are drinking those, but so that's an option.
Yeah, so Bob, with your Jack in the Box, did you drink a soda?
Okay.
That's good honesty.
Yes.
All right, so we gotta cut those out there. So I know, I think Wednesday's usually y'all's light day for practice, but we gotta get rid of those sodas. So
yeah, you always wanna make every bite count. I always say every nutrition bite has to have the most bang. And so think about that when you're at home, what you're eating. You can influence the way your family eats as well.
So what about those two chocolate donuts I had yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Those would be once in a while foods. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to work on that.
Yes.
So
they have a lot of carbohydrates.
They do.
Exactly.
You need carbohydrates.
I know. That's what you just said.
Maybe so. A bagel? No.
All right. So quickly, do we need to put any of these away now?
You're okay, actually. Yeah.
They're going to be okay?
Yeah, all right. Okay.
What's the easiest way for them to meet these needs?
I think the first thing, I mean, just needs in general for day-to-day, I think the first thing is don't skip meals, right? So we kind of already hit on that, Jeremy. You're trying to point deficiencies out. And so ultimately, we don't want to skip meals, because every meal is an opportunity to prepare yourself for your sport, to recover from your sport. And so that would be the first point in my mind. The second point is really just to try and have some sort of variety and try and get a little bit of different food groups involved with each meal. I don't think it has to be overly complicated, but to try and incorporate a grain, a protein, and then some sort of fruit and or vegetable in each meal. And so I think any sort of variety that we can incorporate into our day-to-day meals is a good idea.
All right, so real quick, let's see how this is sinking in. Jose, what did he just say?
He said, do not skip meals.
Good. Don't skip meals.
Eat grain and fruits.
Grain, and fruits, yes.
Protein, I want to say. Vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good. That's pretty good. That's most of what
he
said.
Yeah. If I could, with most meals, one of my strategies would be try and get three food groups in there. So three food groups. So we know grains is a food group. We know protein is a food group. We know fruit is one, vegetables is one, and dairy is one. So if you could knock out three of those five in each meal, that would be ideal. The two big ones, I would say, with breakfast, lunch, and dinner would be a grain and some source of protein. So either egg, meat, or dairy. So bread and milk, or bread and eggs, or bread and meat, or rice and meat. So you've knocked out those two. And then throw in either a fruit and or a vegetable. So knock out three out of five food groups in each meal if you can. And then maybe one or two snacks in between those meals.
All right, so Rita, what do you think are your favorite ways for an athlete or for somebody to get those nutrients that they need?
I think some of the easiest foods you can reach for are eggs. Do y'all know how to cook eggs? Mm-hmm. Scramble them up. Maybe throw some veggies in there like Brett was mentioning earlier. Maybe that piece of toast or some bread or tortillas or some beans in the morning for breakfast. I know y'all do that, right? Yeah. Yeah, so it's really easy. You can open up a can of beans. We do have the no-salt added beans. We have our regular old beans in the can. You've got your eggs over there, bread. What kind of bread would you want to choose? So you'll have longer-lasting energy throughout the day.
White or wheat?
Wheat. Whole grain. Yes, you got it.
Whole grain. Wheat.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to pick up that loaf of bread that I bought, it has about 2 grams of dietary fiber per slice. Some breads you'll find at the store have zero. So what would you say about keeping up their energy levels, Brett?
Yeah, absolutely. Whole grains. So I always reference grains. Grains are a big part of it. And my preference would be, you know, the rule of thumb is always make half your grains whole grain at least. To me, I would make the majority on a day-to-day basis whole grain. The only exception to that would be, you know, let's say, okay, you have practice this afternoon and you wanted something really light and that felt a little bit more comfortable. In some scenarios, some people feel a bit more comfortable with white bread before a practice versus whole grain. And the reason being is that whole grain takes a little bit longer to digest. And so it has the potential to sit on the stomach a little bit longer, feel potentially uncomfortable. But for day-to-day nutrition, whole grain is always the best bet.
All right. So it's always confusing as we're talking about whole grain, because there's wheat bread, there's whole wheat bread, there's like the 7-grained bread. So there's, you know, like the ones with the nuts or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of clarify what is whole grain bread?
I would just stick with whole wheat. So there's a lot of different marketing tools and things that you can that they utilize. But whole wheat basically means that it's the whole grain. So either whole wheat or whole grain, 100% whole wheat, 100% whole grain, both are going to be fine. What it's saying is that they haven't stripped down that grain of anything. Versus white bread, they basically taken and stripped that grain of everything good and then enriched it with other things, some beneficial things, but ultimately you're better off just sticking to the actual original grain itself that hasn't been stripped down. So whole wheat or whole grain is the same term. You'll see them used back and forth, but it's essentially the same thing.
Okay, that'll work.
Now, and there are some wheat breads that still have hydrogen oil, right? Is that something you kind of want to avoid
with
even
bread,
though you're getting a whole wheat?
They've usually taken them out, or the trans fats, I think you're referring to. But in some tortillas that you find at the store, you'll still see the word partially hydrogenated in the ingredient list. Right now, if food has 0.5 grams of trans fat, less than that, the manufacturer can still put zero on the label. So you got to read those ingredient lists. That's really important. So when you're choosing breads and cereals and things like that.
Yeah, it can still say grain.
Yes.
It will advertise nutrition. Mm-hmm. But.
And at the store, one of the things, we have shelf tags at our stores. So right where the price is on the shelf, we have little tags, nutritional shelf tags that say whole grain, fiber source, low sodium, etc. So if you feel like the labels are confusing you, or your parents or your grandparents don't know what to buy, you can check out those shelf tags as well. We have 11 shelf tags at the store right now.
And so at HEB, they're based out of San Antonio, which is also a large Hispanic population.
Yes.
So a lot of their stuff has Spanish on it as well, right?
Yes. So, we are very Texas-centric. We also have stores in northern Mexico, but we're only in Texas and Mexico at this time. And I think, you know, we're from Houston, this area. We are expanding, and each store provides the foods that community wants. So it's very unique to the actual neighborhood. When someone looks for product, I ask where they bought it from, but specifically what store they bought it from. So I think I gave you all some of the recipes, the My HEB Health and Wellness. They have recipes inside, and they take about 30 minutes or less, 10 ingredients or less. Like Brett was saying, it doesn't have to be complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them come in Spanish as well for some of the stores. Mm-hmm.
Good. So she gave those out to you guys. Hopefully you take them home and you use them. And hopefully we don't skip meals, right, Jose?
Right.
All right. So while we're on that, while we're on the ingredients and the meals, so they talked briefly about, just said she can make chicken and rice and vegetables. So what are some of the other things that are easy for them to make at home? And then we're going to talk about easy things for them to bring for lunch.
Okay. I think easiest things, I think you think of it as a stepwise process. So I mentioned 3 food groups, right? So start with grains first. So think of a grain that you like, and then how can you manipulate that into different meals? And I think we talked about tortillas earlier. So corn or whole grain tortillas, you can get both from a grocery store. Okay, so with a tortilla, you've got your grain.
So let me jump in there real quick. At Freebird, they have like the spinach or the cayenne tortillas. Uh-huh. Do you have any idea about those?
They have spinach tortillas. I'm fine with whole grain.
I prefer that, what Brett's saying exactly.
Like, versus flour tortillas.
Yeah, so I would, in my hierarchy, I would put whole grain and then corn and then flour at the bottom.
Okay.
So corn is going to be a leaner, lower calorie, less fat type option, and whole grain is going to provide you a little bit more in terms of vitamins and minerals and fiber.
All right, so I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. So I would start with that grain, and then I would incorporate a protein into it. Okay, so with that in mind, our protein options would be something like meat. It could be eggs. It could be beans. Any of those sources could be there. So we could take a tortilla and say, I'm going to create, let's say, a wrap or a sandwich. Okay, so a tortilla, and I would add chicken to it. So you've got your grain and your protein. And now what can we add to it for flavor? You could add either some sort of sauce to it. You could add veggies to it. And now you've got your meal. But with that same tortilla, you could turn that into a quesadilla. So there's no reason why you can't take cheese and meat, put that in a skillet, and cook that, and that's your a totally different option. You could take that same option, and you could take a tortilla, mix it with eggs, mix it with bell peppers and salsa, and now you've got yourself a breakfast burrito. At the same time, you could take a whole grain tortilla, you could put pasta sauce on it, cheese, spinach, chicken, throw that in an oven, and you can make yourself your own little personalized miniature pizza. That's all with one tortilla and chicken. I mean, so you can vary your options very easily. So you mentioned rice earlier. So you can do rice and chicken and veggies, and that's fine. It's not very complicated to take rice. You can either boil it, and that can take a little bit of time. HEB or even other grocery stores will have bagged rice, which is still very cheap. You can throw it in a pot of boiling water, and it takes 8 minutes to cook. Open up the bag, pour it out, whole grain brown rice. That's an easy enough option. So you mix in some sort of meat with that, some sort of veggie, and you've got yourself your own item. So you can do it in a stir fry form, like you mentioned, so more Asian, and add some sort of Asian sauce to it. Or you could go Chipotle style. So you mentioned that earlier. So you could take cilantro, black beans, and corn out of the can, throw that into a rice mixture, add chicken to it, and you've got yourself your own Chipotle for a lot cheaper.
Some fresh pico. All right.
Cook once, eat two or three times. Yeah. Stretch it out.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you talked about whole grain rice. How bad is the white rice versus the whole grain?
So it still comes down to the same kind of scenario I mentioned earlier. So whole grain brown rice is going to provide more vitamins and minerals. It's going to provide more fiber. It's going to be a slower, longer lasting breakdown. Versus white rice is a very, it's essentially glucose, so it's broken down very rapidly. Again, same scenario in the sense where if I were having a meal right before a soccer game or a practice, white rice would be a fairly ideal option because it's broken down quickly. You have that energy available, ready to go by the time practice starts. But for day-to-day purposes, whole grain brown rice is a better option, just like whole grain bread versus white rice or white bread.
All right. So, Rita, tell me some of the things that specifically for this community, that some of the things that you had in mind when you bought those groceries.
Let me ask you. I know Brett was talking about tacos and wraps. I eat tacos pretty much every day. Do you have them at breakfast, lunch, dinner sometimes? Yep.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, how many of your parents or grandparents make caldo de pollo or beef soup? Everybody's eating that? So what's in there? Got your protein? What's your protein? What's your meat? Chicken, right? Yeah, your chicken, maybe some beef. Do you throw rice in there? So Brett was talking about the whole grains. What about your veggies? Are there veggies in there? Potatoes, corn, you getting hungry now? Yeah, so think about that. You could actually use that chicken broth from that soup and boil up that rice, steam those vegetables. You can put your veggies in the microwave. I brought some frozen vegetables that are really easy. I assume most of your families use fresh vegetables. Is that right? Yeah, usually nothing out of the can, nothing out of the freezer. Everything is fresh, right? You always want to add cook with color. But cooking doesn't have to be difficult. What about sandwiches? Grilled cheese. Could you do that? No, you couldn't do that? What could you do instead? Like that quesadilla Brett was talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, put that on the comal, right? Heat it up. So instead of just cheese, what else could you pack it with?
Meat.
What about peppers? He mentioned peppers. Onions. Spinach. So think about how those nutrients, how those vitamins, those the minerals, the fiber from the vegetables, from the whole grain, if you're having it for dinner, how is that going to fuel you? Is it going to help with your performance? Probably so. I brought some tuna fish. What could you do with tuna fish?
What do you think, Matthew? What could you do with tuna? You like tuna, Matthew? No? All right, so when I was in college, you know, we worked out all the time. So one of the things I would always do is go to the cafeteria and get a tuna melt. So it's bread, you know, and they put butter on the bread to kind of grill it, and then tuna and then cheese. So I don't know if it's the most healthy, but it, you know, still...
It'll give you something, yeah.
I figured it was better than a cheeseburger. I didn't know.
All you got to do is open up the can. I know this is going to sound weird, but I actually put fruit and nuts in my tuna fish. I'll put green onions, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds. Try it. You're going to love it. I know. Eggs for dinner. I think I do that a lot. It's really simple. I've had a long day at work. I go work out. I'm hungry. I'm tired. Eggs cook up really quick, right? Yeah. What could you stick on the side? Maybe some leftover beans? So that avocado, tomato, just some fruit.
An orange,
right? Comes in its own wrapping, its own peel. Yeah, bananas, apples. Think of things that are portable you can stick in your backpack too, right? What time is lunch?
They actually went to first lunch today, so they came here from lunch.
And practice is coming up a little
bit
later.
So we get out at 2:30, practice roughly at 3.
Yeah, just simple things. And in your MyHB Health and Wellness, you get 12 recipes, and they're really easy. But think about, what if you don't have all those ingredients at home? Do you think of something that you could substitute? Yeah, always do that. Think about what's in your budget. And I want you to shop. I want your families to shop the fridge first and the freezer and the pantry. Because what if you already have broccoli at home and you go buy some more broccoli? That's great for me at the store, right? But you already have it at home, right? So shop at home first. See what you have on hand. And just think of things that you can put together. I brought some cheese. You got the tortillas, like Brett was mentioning. Maybe you've already cooked up that chicken. Maybe cook up some of that rice that takes about 10 minutes. Have a little veggies on the side. You like squash?
Corn. Yeah, squash and zucchini sauteed. And
yeah.
Put a little garlic like on there, too.
Mm, getting sauteed. Hungry.
What?
That's good. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, so what you were saying, that's what my wife actually does. She'll get the HEB ad on Tuesday, and then she'll go through and look what's on sale and then see what we have and make the list there from what's on sale and then what we have. Like you're saying, shops just like you were saying, intentionally with the budget. Because, you know, when we polled the kids, or I polled the kids, they said about $150 per week is what they spend on groceries. All right, so Jose, you said you spend about $150? About $200, yeah. How many people are eating out of that $200? Yeah, we'll come back to you. Yes, you said about 150. How many people are eating out of that 150?
I think five.
Think five? Okay. Mm-hmm. So if that $25, how many times do you think that $25 $27 would that feed five people?
Probably at least, yeah, 4 to 5 if you're creative with what you're having. So, but like, again, you have to add those carbohydrates, right? The grains, the fruits, the veggies. You want your lean proteins. I always tell my customers to buy the protein first, because that's usually the most expensive product. And I tried to get the chicken. You can buy a whole chicken, right? That's called a chicken fryer. You can get that about 97 cents a pound to maybe $1.27 a pound. But if the chicken's already all cut up for you, how much do you think that costs? Over sometimes $3 per pound. So it really adds up when you're looking at your budget. I know y'all are planning to go to college, right? Yeah. So all that is important. All these life skills are very important. Got to wash your clothes. You got to learn how to fuel yourself, right? Yep. So these skills are going to go with you and stick with you for a long time.
And I think another big thing is, a lot of times when people start focusing on eating healthy, all of a sudden it becomes, when they go to the grocery with this health conscious, they start to buy anything and everything that looks healthy. And they don't limit it sometimes. And I think you don't have to be over the top with buying a wide variety every time you go to the grocery store. Be kind of vary your diet week to week is one of the things I like to say. So buy 2, 3, 4 vegetables for that week. Okay, mix and match them in different ways. So you can make a salad and add bell pepper to it, and just as easily take that same bell pepper and add that to eggs the next day, or stir fry the next day. So you don't have to necessarily buy 10 different vegetables. You can buy just a couple and utilize them in different ways that week. And then the next week you can do the same thing with alternate vegetables. So I think a lot of times when we eat really health conscious, we tend to waste a lot of food because we over purchase. And I think ultimately pick a couple different items out, utilize those, and you can still be healthy. It doesn't have to be that expensive.
All right. Thoughts from our college students?
So we haven't mentioned oatmeal yet. Would oatmeal be considered a healthy, good, cheap grain that you could kind of put whatever you want in it?
Yes.
Peanut butter, raisins,
I make mine
nuts.
With milk. I make mine on Sundays. I make a big pot of oatmeal on Sundays. And actually, that's what I had for breakfast this morning.
And you can buy one of those big 2 gallon.
They're huge. Yeah, they're like huge. A tall Quaker oats. Like
yeah, I prefer the old fashioned or the steel cut. I don't know what Brett would say, but you're, unless you're having an event, in a few hours, maybe the instant. But you need something quickly digested. But otherwise, in the morning, go for your old fashioned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I absolutely. Every morning I have oatmeal and then I have something in it. So I'll add dried fruit to it, or I'll add strawberries or bananas or blueberries or whatever fruit was cheap that week is what I'll put in it. Yeah. Yeah. It's a very plain, by itself, it can be pretty plain, but when you add something to it, it can be very different and it can change from week to week, and it's a very healthy option. So there's plenty of fiber in it, good carbohydrates, a little bit of protein, and then you add whatever fruit you might want to add into that.
I add nuts and I use milk in mine to get more nutrition. Yeah. I know some people just like it watered down, but I prefer the milk.
If I don't use fruit, because fruit can add like that sugary sweet taste to
the oatmeal. See, I actually like the fruit, and that was one of the things I did in college, is you get the big bags of fruit, and it would be a very quick smoothie, and you can add whatever you want to your yogurts. And whenever I was actually in college, I did a better job of shopping the perimeter of the grocery store, as a lot of people would say, is I found it actually was cheaper out there, and I found that quality of food was better as well, because it was fresh. And that was one of the things that I did much better in college. Now that I'm at home, there's a lot more options because the budget's different, but it changes very quickly.
And if you find you're at home and your fresh fruit is going bad, I'll freeze it. You know, you see all the celebrity chefs on TV. Chefs don't waste anything at all. They use every bit of every part of that food or that animal. So again, if you're wasting food, you're wasting money. Yeah, and it can add up.
All right, so as we're talking about oatmeal, what my wife does is we'll take that big thing of oats from H-E-B, and I'm not sure if it's the instant or the old, I think it says old fashioned on it, and I'll like melt peanut butter, and then you pour in like some brown sugar, and then you pour in the oats and kind of mix it all together, and then stick it in the oven for like 7 minutes, stir it, stick it back in for like 7 minutes. And so what are your thoughts there? Because I mean, I'm having the oats, but there's the peanut butter, and that seems like protein is relatively healthy, but then the brown sugar, or I may add honey instead of brown sugar. So what are your thoughts there for that?
I'm fine with it. I'll add a little bit of brown sugar to mine, some cinnamon, the dried fruit or the fresh fruit, the nuts. I try to pack as much nutrition in it as I can, because those carbs are absorbed within a few hours, and I need something to stick with me for a longer period of time. So I think you're getting that from the peanut butter. Any other add-ins?
Yeah. What about chocolate chips?
Once in a while.
Yeah, you know.
You cross the line.
No, that's the good stuff.
For us, you know, we may not always want to do quite the unhealthy, but brown sugar and stuff like that's on a good on occasion, but especially for high school students, you can get away with little things like brown sugar or honey on occasion.
And I make my own energy bars with old-fashioned oats. I'll put those in a food processor with some pitted dates. Have y'all seen dates? They look like big raisins with a big seed inside. Yeah. I'll get some of that, maybe some maple syrup or honey to bind it, to glue it together, and then I'll add in some chopped nuts, some dried fruit, and you don't bake it. You don't have to use the oven. So you flatten it down, make sure your hands are wet, and you stick that in the freezer for about half an hour or so. Get them hard, and you can slice it up with a pizza cutter. And that can be your snack, stick it in your backpack.
Yeah, and they're actually more chewy that way, too, if you don't bake them.
And sometimes I'll toast my nuts for additional flavor punch. But I'm saving money, right? Even though I work for H-E-B. But making my own.
All right, so they're about to take off because the bell's about to ring. So you guys have any final questions? No. All right, if y'all want to grab a banana or an orange on your way out, Jose, you want to grab a banana or orange on your way out? A quick glass of milk. So
I actually heard that, well, I'm somewhat aware that dates actually have more potassium per serving than a banana.
Yeah, and it'll depend on the quantity you're eating, too. So that's why I always tell people, how much are you having?
All right, so we didn't get to specifically the lunch. So for these guys, you know, peanut butter and jelly is obviously an option. I said peanut butter and banana. So what are some of the other things that they may be able to do for lunch? I know you said quesadillas, but I'm not sure how many people like quesadillas that are cold, because they don't have a microwave available for the kids to heat things up. And so what are some of your thoughts on things specifically for them to bring here at high school for lunch?
I think even if it's a flour tortilla, rolling some deli meat in there and some cheese, some lettuce and veggies, rolling it up and call it a wrap, literally, with some fruit on the side. Anything else, Brett?
Yeah, I mean, I know salads is not a big thing that a lot of kids are going to want to bring, but salads is something, an option that they can do. So I was never a big fan of cold meat. I still don't like cold meat. That's just, I don't know, I don't like it. So so if I was going to have a salad, I would have something like black beans or corn on it, so make a Southwestern style. So, okay, you could have your lettuce, your veggies. You could put black bean and corn on there, and then you could bring an avocado, cut that up, mm-hmm. and put that in there. And that's, I mean, that's still a substantial meal. That's something that they can have. That's something that can keep until, you know, the time of lunch is fine. You mentioned peanut butter and jelly, or peanut butter banana is a good option. Deli meat can work. String cheese is a good protein option as well. So it doesn't have to be, you know, a sandwich per se. So they could bring crackers and cheese and fruit and have some sort of veggies to go with it. Okay, and that's, you have yourself a meal, and that can work just fine. I think even things like potatoes, or I know they can't reheat a micro, you know, potato, but you can bring something like chopped up roasted potatoes would be something that could be available that they could bring. I'm
sure they would like sweets.
Yeah, things sure like that can work. You know, the other thing is the ability to keep your lunch cool. If the lockers are big enough, and they can, you know, bring things like yogurt from home can be an option that you can utilize. Or for their protein source, getting milk here at the school. I know milk is available with their lunches. So having milk to go with their lunch would be their protein source. And that could be an option. I just think you don't want to necessarily, I think a lot of times we look at lunch or high school lunches as you can't, it's hard to bring much, so I'm just going to not do anything good at all. And so either going to skip lunch or just get pizza from the cafeteria. We got to find some happy medium and try and be creative with it.
And I'll tell people to freeze the yogurt or freeze that bottle of water if they have it, just to keep their lunch a little longer.
That's a great idea. Freezing the... How long do you think it takes the yogurt to thaw out?
It's going
to
take a little bit of time, but I'll call it a yogurt slush. So I really want chocolate ice cream, I'll freezing, switch to the yogurt.
Freezing like blueberries and grapes, even when they're not completely thawed out, they still pretty
good. Especially in the summer.
Yeah, that was a big strategy. Yeah. Because, I mean, they're going to sit out in your locker for 4 or 5 hours before you finally get to lunch in the morning. So usually you're pretty good by then, actually, from whatever I was in high school. That worked out very well. Yogurts as well. Everything usually was thawed out. PB&Js, back when I didn't do anything for myself as far as making my own food, Mom would make it the night before, toss it in the freezer. I just grabbed it out of the freezer and go, because she wouldn't be there. So it worked out really good, actually.
PB&J in the freezer?
Yeah, she would just put it in there. The whole lunch would be in the freezer. They also have, like, they're called Uncrustables, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever I was playing McMurray, they would give that to our football team the night before games. They would get two of those and some Gatorades and other stuff. So the PB&Js, once they're thawed out, they're actually better, I think.
Let's try that.
Yeah, they're really good, actually.
All right, so that is a one question. I remember hearing a long time ago, and I probably should just look it up, but I think you guys probably give me a better answer. Is the crust beneficial? Like, I remember hearing that the nutrients were actually in the crust of the bread, and so if you cut those off, you lose a lot of the nutrients from the bread. What are your thoughts on that?
My personal thoughts is it's not giving you much nutrition, but maybe you're going to get a couple of extra calories from it. And if they're going to eat the crust and get more food in that way, I'd prefer to have the crust. I don't know what you think, Brett.
I honestly do not know the answer to your question. Yeah. I would think the crust is going to be fairly similar. I know it's not all the nutrition is not in the crust. I know that's the case. So you cut the crust off, you're not losing the value of the food. I have no idea how much value is in the crust specifically.
All the crust is essentially is like the carbohydrates toasted being bread formed differently. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I mean, it's just the bread just sits a little browner because it faced the heat.
It was closer to the flame.
So. Okay.
That is a trend now, crustless bread.
I don't understand. I just eat it all. But I guess when I was a kid, I used to cut it off. But. All right. All right. Have we talked about some of the meals? I think you talked about the meals that you can make with the groceries you brought, right?
Correct. Yeah. There's spaghetti. I know a lot of the kids probably grew up with fideo, so it's vermicelli pasta. So again, they can make that, throw in some of the meat, add some veggies to it. You got your tomato sauce, a little bit of potassium right there. And that doesn't take much or any time to cook, really.
No, I just don't think, I think oftentimes it looks like, okay, we have to cook. This is going to take forever. But I think you just have to remind them that, okay, for any sort of meat, you can cook it. The two easiest ways for them is going to be to stick it in the oven. So literally just take a piece of meat and stick it in the oven. And once it is cooked through, you're ready to go. Or cooking it on a skillet. I mean, that takes very little skill or thought process. It just, you put a pan on the stove and you spray the pan and you cook your chicken on it and or your fish on it or your shrimp on it, and there you go. That's your cooked meat. And the same thing goes with pasta or rice. All it does is, if you can boil water, then you can cook rice or pasta. And if you can turn on a skillet or a gas stove, then you can cook chicken. And the two of those, you've got yourself a meal. If you can chop vegetables, which again is just a knife chopping action of vegetables, now you've got yourself a more complex meal. So I think oftentimes high school students, I know when I was in high school, I thought it was very complicated, but once you get to college, you realize it's not that difficult after all. All you have to do is turn on a stove and you're pretty much good to go, or turn on an oven and that's fine too.
Even crock pots, because yeah. I know a lot of families will make cheese dip in that. So I'm like, hey, use that to make a meal. Mm-hmm. So, not just for queso.
Brett, can I kind of hone in on your sports nutrition
for
a second? Okay, so dealing with like the sports nutrition aspect, do you find yourself communicating differently between like different sports, or do you kind of just generalize the whole nutritional?
Yes, it's different between sport to sport. So,
is that difficult? Does that become
no? It's unique. It makes the job more creative or more diverse. So it was the same thing in the hospital system. I didn't like working on one unit. I liked working in a variety of units because I don't like being tied to one thing. And so this job is fun because it's different sports. So a college football player, an offensive lineman who's 350 pounds, and this is recently. So I would go and do my normal job in the morning, and then I'd go work with some college football players, and they'd be anywhere from, I worked with offensive and defensive linemen, so they would be anywhere from 300 to, I had someone 362. Okay, so go do that and look at what those guys are trying to lose weight, getting ready for the NFL draft. Okay, well, how do I handle that versus how do I handle high school rowers? Okay, well, that's two totally different things. High school rowing has weight classes, so some of those students were actually worried about staying within their weight class, and their energy needs are different. And obviously, how you would approach a 130-pound female athlete versus a 360-pound football or male athlete is going to be a little bit different and unique. Obviously, the total needs are completely different, but a rower is going to be much more carbohydrate-driven versus an offensive lineman is going to be a little bit more protein-driven and not quite so high in carbohydrates, but still a pretty substantial amount. And then you look at someone like an Ironman athlete, and their race could be anywhere from 8.5 hours to 16 hours. Okay, well, you can't go 16 hours of exercise without passing out if you're not taking in something. So how they approach that is different. So we've really got to make sure that they're focused on their nutrition every hour of that race. So we had a guy go through our work with us, and he did a 100-mile run in one day. So that was the race he did, was 100 miles in one day. So that guy cannot do that without eating throughout the duration of that run. Otherwise, he's going to get hypoglycemic and pass out.
So you're able to consult them as far as like what they're eating during the race, before the race, after the race.
Right. So in a scenario like a race, I will normally approach it as, what should you do the week of the race, the final 48 hours before the race, the final morning before the race, during the race itself. So each hour, here's what we would do. And then I normally approach it as, here's what I would do during training. So that way we can practice and strategize what works and what doesn't work. Because you never want to try something the first day or for the first time on game day or race day. Mm-hmm. You'd want to actually test that out, test out that option during your trial runs and see how does that work for you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I gave ideas, and then he kind of tests things out, reports back, and then we go from there.
Definitely sport specific.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's general guidelines. There are guidelines. So the rule of thumb for anyone who's training is if you're going to exercise for an hour and a half or greater, that the rule is that you take in 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrates an hour. So that's the same for soccer versus if I was a triathlete. But your options during soccer are going to be a little bit different from a triathlete, just in terms of what they're going to want to consume and when they're going to consume it. You know, obviously soccer player might come off. In high school, you can come off and be substituted out and drink some sports drink then, but they may need to know about or think about, strategize, you know, if a player's injured, do I come over to the sideline and have something then? Do we keep a sports drink by the goalie? So when we go back for goal kicks or corner kicks, can I go get something to drink then at halftime versus during, you know, an Ironman race or a marathon? It's a little bit different in the sense that they're trying to do it maybe in every 15-minute increment is how they would time it, or 10-minute increments.
So would you say that age also is an important factor?
Yeah, absolutely. How I approach it. So the age group needs are going to be different, usually because size is different, but also just their focus on it. So a lot of high school athletes, when I'll consult, some of them are very interested in what I have to say, but a lot of times it'll be the parents are bringing them in, and that's purely why. And so there's sometimes where you have to just, I'll go over the information, but the only real thing I want to get out of it is for them to actually just realize that sports nutrition or nutrition is important for their performance. So I will change how I talk to someone and how I strategize based on their age.
Yeah, the approach is
like that. But I mean, that's for anyone. If you were to talk to an adult, you know, a 30-year-old male, it's going to be different than how you would talk to a 14-year-old male. I mean, it's just same thing for you as for me, and how I would approach it is just different.
All right. So on that, some of the things that we have available for the kids to purchase is we have the Gatorade protein bars. We have the Gatorade, the chews. And then we also have Slim Jim. Because I know Roberta Andy.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Definitely said, hey, you know, beef jerky's great. However, every time I look for beef jerky, it's in like a big bag that sells for like $7. Well, I'm not going to say, hey, come buy this $7 bag of beef jerky from me. So those things I can sell for a quarter, the small Slim Jims, I can sell for a quarter. And it's roughly, you know, that's roughly what it costs us. So, but it's getting them something better than a popsicle or the chips, you know, the Fritos down at the vending machine. So what are your thoughts on those things there? Or what are some things that, as an athletic trainer, I could make available realistically?
I like the Gatorade chews. I like the sports drinks. I think those are helpful. So those are good things to consume either right before a training session. So if they got done with school at 2:30, they have practice right afterwards and they wanted to have a little bit of energy beforehand. Those are simple carbohydrates that can be broken down before or that can be consumed during, and that's easy carbs, right? So that's fine. Dried fruit is another option. Rita mentioned dates, but dried dates, cranberries, raisins. I mean, those are things that are easy, simple sugars. So they're going to be broken down rapidly, just like, those would be. Rice cakes is another thing that you can do. You know, I don't think you can buy individual rice cakes, but, rice cakes are an easy option. White bread is an easy option, even by itself. There's nothing wrong with having just scarfing down a piece of white bread. I know that seems odd, but it is something that I would do before training, and it's something that some of my athletes would do before training.
Salted crackers?
Yeah, crackers could be an option. I think another one, Slim Jims, I think, you know, I saw that conversation on Twitter, and Slim Jims, some of them are going to really be high in fat, and she's absolutely correct about that. If you look, some of the brands or some of the options that Slim Jim has are a little bit lower in fat, so they could be options. Another one that you can do, why am I blanking out now all of a sudden? String cheese. I mentioned it earlier. So string cheese, each slice of string cheese is about 7 grams of protein. So one of the things I'll reference for a lot of high school athletes, I think there's this thought process with protein is such an important part of it. And they're right. But high school kids think so much that they have to have these huge quantities of protein. And for most high school kids, 15 to 20 grams is substantial enough to have a significant impact on growth and repair of muscle. So 2 string cheeses is going to be 15 grams of protein. So you're hitting what they need right then and there. I mean, that's an easy option that they can have. Milk before training session is not going to be ideal, but afterwards, you know, if you could have those little carton milks, one or two of those, again, would be the same thing. So they're rehydrating, they're taking in carbohydrates, and they're taking in protein afterwards. Other things that they can do. Pretzels is another popular one as a carbohydrate-based item, and that can be something that they can do.
Bananas always seem to be convenient.
Correct.
Fruit. The banana bundle, like they're 10 to 15 cents a banana.
So,
see, but the thing about the banana is they go bad. So easily, like the Slim Jim, I can keep it in there for weeks or months.
Or
yeah. You know, it's a good idea. I just have to figure out what's going to actually work.
Packages of peanuts, maybe?
Peanuts would be, peanuts is a protein-based item, but it's also going to be a fat-based item too. So that would be something that they would need to do probably afterwards. But along those lines, you know, a snack that they could have during the day while at school, if they're allowed to, is something like trail mix. So that's in line with what you were thinking about. So peanuts or almonds or even walnuts or pistachios, having that with, let's say, a little bit of chocolate for something sweet is fine, but then having some dried fruit to go with it or cereal, and you can make yourself a easy combination of things like that. This is not one that I think you can sell, but frozen yogurt. So you can actually take yogurt, Greek yogurt or regular yogurt, and you can put it in those paper cups, you know, those little ones that you would just mm-hmm. drink out of water or drink water out of. You can actually put yogurt in there and freeze that, and you can blend it with fruit or mix it with fruit if you wanted to and freeze it and put a popsicle stick in that, and they can actually have protein popsicles. Nice. As an option. So again, that's not one that you can probably sell for, you know, because I don't know how you would ration that out in terms of cost, but if parents wanted to do that or if the kids themselves wanted to do that, that takes zero, you know, it takes very little time to put a little bit of yogurt, some fruit in a blender, blend it up, put it in a cup, a paper cup, put a popsicle stick in it, freeze it, and you've got yourself a protein popsicle stick.
I'm definitely going to try that.
Yeah. So it's a good option, a creative one.
All right. So Rita, out of those things that he was just saying, what are your thoughts as far as HEB or if you didn't know, maybe more for the general public, but specifically at HEB, like I haven't seen beef jerky other than the Slim Jims, or, you know, or they have the big Slim Jim that costs like $1.10 to buy. So
which one?
Am I going to sell it for $2 for one Slim Jim, you know, or one big thing of Jack Slinks or whatever they are? I don't know, but what are your thoughts there?
I know when y'all were talking about make your own trail mix, I'll do that a lot of times. Go buy some boxes of cereal. Go to the bulk bins or healthy living department. You can get the nuts, the dried fruit, different types of grains. We're putting jerky in those parts of the store right now. We even have salmon jerky. So there's a lot of options out there if you're able to make that. I know you're talking about the frozen yogurt. We do have the ones, I can't remember what they're called. I can't remember the name of them. Where
it's like Go-Gurt?
I think it's something along those lines where you just pop it open and it's like a push pop almost. So you could freeze those. You might need a few of those to get some protein. Trying to think, I'll get the, I think you were talking about peanuts earlier, mm-hmm. I'll get the nuts again from the bulk section or on the shelves as well. But there's a lot of options and you can still save money if you buy the store brand.
So you said mm-hmm. cereal into trail mix. Cheerios or like what's the...
Like the toasted oats. You could get like the Chex type cereal. I'll put flaky cereal in there too. You can get cornflakes.
Lucky Charms.
Not necessarily. And I think you talked about adding sweetness as well. The dried fruit, maybe a couple bits of the chocolate pieces in there. Sometimes I'll do the sesame seed sticks if you need some sodium. Throw that in there as well. Flaked coconut. You can do pretty much anything you want. Seeds, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds. Mm-hmm. So I really, literally, whatever I have on hand, I'll dump all in a bag or a container. And because I work out of my car a lot of times, a little mobile cart, and I have to plan my snacks, sometimes two lunches to get me through the day because I don't know what's going to happen or my appointment may run long with a patient or a customer. So that's, you know, my tactics. Trying to plan, I think, is the biggest thing. So,
all right. So what are your tips on the least expensive way to get the most nutrition for trail mix?
Trail mix. So store brands, definitely, and buying in bulk. Those are my big two.
So obviously you work for HEB.
I do.
But like saying Sam's bulk or just buying like the big
bag
of HEB?
Yeah, any grocery store you go to, some of them, not all of them, but some of them will have their bulk bins. Buy out of the bulk bins because you're not paying for the marketing of that packaging or that box for that food. Also cereal boxes. You mentioned oatmeal earlier, buying the store brand. I always tell my customers to shop looking at the unit price as well, just not the overall price, mm-hmm. but looking at the unit price, because again, you'll save cents, even dollars, depending on what the unit price is. So store brands help. Again, try them, see if you like them. Most people do, some people don't. I know a lot of people are brand loyal, but again, shopping in bulk and the store brands really helps. And the quality is the same or even higher than the actual national brand.
So is organic a completely different broadcast?
Probably so. And I think for this population, you know, and for any population, you don't have to buy organic to get nutrition because there's really no research that says the nutrition is going to be higher in organically grown products. And I know they were talking earlier, they were skipping meals. So if we can get them to eat an orange or banana for breakfast, whether it's organic or not, I'm happy. That's my viewpoint.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, let's start small and like Brett, and I'm sure you were saying, you know, you take something you're already eating, they're already eating the tortillas and the beans and the eggs. Well, just chop up a bell pepper, chop up an onion, just throw that in there.
One more step,
you know, and you may already have it. And you, like, we have a garden in our backyard, right? So it's easy for me to go grab a bell pepper or a tomato or something out of that. I don't know how many of them do, but something like that is just real simple.
Yeah, if you don't like, I know the common trend is, oh, I don't like certain vegetables or things like that. Well, there's no reason why they can't. You take something that you like and add one new thing to it that you may not be quite so sure about. So, you know, he seemed okay. He had mentioned quesadillas. Okay, well, it's not hard to add one new thing to that. Spinach, cilantro, onion, bell pepper, green onion. Pick one of those things. You don't even have to add the whole. You don't have to add a whole onion. You don't have to add a whole bell pepper. Just add a little bit of it and see if you can kind of improve it in that way. So take something you like and add something different to it. So pasta is another easy one to mix it in there. There's no reason why you can't add some sort of vegetable like broccoli or spinach to pasta or tomatoes to pasta. And it's going to, the flavor is not going to be significantly changed. You're still going to taste primarily pasta and pasta sauce. And it's an easy way to add some nutritional value to it.
Or even spreading some avocado on a sandwich when they do have their sandwiches, just to add some extra nutrition instead of the good old mayonnaise we typically go for.
You know, something at HEB that I've had for the first time, but I've like fallen in love with is the native Texan salsa, because it's fire roasted like tomatoes or fire roasted vegetables. And they get like, you taste it, you're like, that's good. And then like a second later, like, oh man, that is awesome. And so I highly recommend, I don't know if you can order it online or something, if you're listening in Tennessee, then the fire roasted or the native Texan salsa, because that's good. And so we've talked before about salsa, because it's also something that is pretty predominant in Hispanic populations. Mm-hmm. And so then there, it's easy for you to mix in, like I could grind up carrots, or, you know, blend up carrots and throw it in there. Or, you know, you're getting the tomatoes, the onions, the bell peppers, maybe the jalapenos, things like that, because that's also a really healthy option. So what about something like a bag of chips and salsa for lunch?
Here's some pico. I mean, most people I know growing up as, you know, Mexican American in this part of the state, there's always pico de gallo, the avocado, the guacamole, probably had some cheese in the fridge. Yeah, any combination to throw it in to your eggs, to your beans, that's what I would do. Any other ideas?
Yeah, I mean, I think adding salsa to any, I think that's one of the things I can do to make a healthy meal taste a little bit better. Because I think like sandwiches or wraps or things like that may not be the most flavorful thing in the world, but if they can add a little bit of salsa to it, that's an easy option. You can grind things up to it and add that into it. That's fine. Or that salsa can just kind of mask the flavor of some of those distinct vegetables that they may not be as comfortable with. So again, going back to eggs or a wrap or something like that, you can have your tortilla, your egg, or your tortilla and chicken, and you can add salsa to it, okay? But then for crunch, you could add shredded carrots or shredded cabbage. Red cabbage is an easy one that adds some crunch to it. It doesn't have any real flavor, and the salsa itself is going to overwhelm any flavor it would provide, so, but the nutrition value is still there.
You could even do a fruit pico de gallo. Especially in the summer, I'll do mango, watermelon, cucumber, a little mint, and your serranos, onion, etc., just to change it up.
Yeah, cucumber, lime, and cilantro and avocado is a good mixture together. You can make your own, you know, mash up your avocado into some guacamole, but add some cucumber and lime and onion, and that's a good flavorful kind of refreshing mix that you can add.
I had some, well, I think it was watermelon pico once, and that my mother-in-law made, and it was really good. I mean, I love watermelon, so obviously, you know, it's going to be good. But yeah, just the small changes. So, I mean, I really wish they were here, but hopefully, I think what I'll do is I make them listen to it and kind of give me a summary so they can kind of catch all this stuff that we're talking about here at the end. So
I know with the guacamole, I've been adding the Greek yogurt, the plain yogurt. I know not everybody will have that at home, but you could even add fresh or canned whole kernel corn, beans, the pico, just kick it up a little bit, some of that shredded cheese. It'll really change the flavor profile. A little extra protein.
I believe my beautiful wife is watching. I don't know if she can hear. So maybe make sure you're writing all this stuff down so we can try that, all right?
Going grocery shopping today.
All right, so one of the questions that I got when I mentioned this topic is high school athletes are always wanting to take supplements, right? Because everybody wants to do it the fast, easy way, which is talk to the guy at GNC who is just a meathead. Not all, but, you know, in general, is a meathead, and he's just trying to sell a product. Uh-huh. So are there any supplements that either of you recommend?
I think, to me, the first thing I tell all my high school athletes that ask about this is your diet needs to be improved first, right? So supplements are meant to just be that. They're meant to be a supplement to your diet, but they're not meant to take the place of it. So keep referring back to Jose. Jose mentioned he didn't have breakfast, he didn't have lunch. Okay, well, why would you take a supplement? Because ultimately you could have fixed your problem by just having breakfast and lunch. So to me, I would say almost every high school athlete I've talked to could be doing something better as far as their day-to-day diet that should be worked on first. If someone was, a high school athlete was doing everything correctly for nutrition, and I still felt like they needed something more, a multivitamin would be something that would be fine. I would be perfectly comfortable with that. Protein powder is something that I get asked a lot about. I would say in most scenarios, I don't think it's a necessity. As I mentioned before, for a lot of high school athletes, protein needs are based on weight. And most high school athletes are not the biggest kids in the world, right? So if you're 150 pounds, if you're 170 pounds, you can be fine with 20 grams of protein. Well, that's the equivalent of a couple of cups of milk or a cup of yogurt or 3 ounces of meat. So it's really not hard to meet those protein needs from daily nutrition. So do you really need protein powder? Not really. I think the scenario where protein powder might be an option for some kids would be a legitimately big offensive lineman who's struggling to get enough protein. Maybe that would be an opportunity for them. Otherwise, you know, the only other ones that I might would look at would be if they're vitamin D deficient, you know, who's at risk for that? Kids who are not out in sunlight very often. The darker pigmentation your skin is, the less you absorb, so you're more at risk for that. So if you're not outside very often, which most athletes are going to be outside, but if you're a basketball athlete or volleyball, and so if you're not outside and you're not consuming much fatty fish, so things like salmon or dairy or other vitamin D fortified foods, you might would be at risk for vitamin D deficiency. And that would be something that you could get checked in your annual physical, and that's something that then you could address it. But otherwise, very long-winded answer. I think focus on diet first. A general multivitamin's fine, and then otherwise, there's not much else that I think, you know, every time I go to a high school athlete that I tell them that they need to take.
Rita?
I'm right along with that. I always say food first, supplementation second, if necessary, and multivitamins good backup insurance. So, but work on the food first and go from there.
All right, so somebody like me, I don't like salmon. I don't like any fishy fish. So like I'll eat shrimp, I'll eat scallops, I'll eat tilapia. Maybe like fried catfish or flounder or something like that. But those are not the fish that are good for me. Those are the fish that are not fatty, right?
Right.
And so something like that for me. Of course, I'm not a high-level athlete. I wouldn't even say an athlete. I just lift weights. That's about it. So for something like that, how would I get those? I mean, I'm outside pretty often as an athletic trainer. Uh-huh. So like the fish oil, is that something that's needed, or just vitamin D possibly? I mean, I drink milk almost every day.
So vitamin D, it's tough to say. Vitamin D, we get some from our diet, but we just don't get that much. So, but it doesn't take very much sunlight at all to get it either. I think, I can't remember what the recommendation
10
is.
Minutes.
10 minutes.
Yeah, something every like day. That.
So, I mean, it's not hard. Considering you're out in the sun some for sports in general, I'm assuming I wouldn't doubt that your normal vitamin D levels, but again, that's something that you can get checked out, and it's easy enough to take a supplement for that. As far as the fatty fish, where that would be an issue would be perhaps omega-3. Okay, so you can get omega-3 from other sources. It's just a bit challenging. So in your case, maybe fish oil would be an option that you could utilize. Other sources of omega-3 are going to be things like walnuts are going to provide some. Flaxseed is going to provide some. Flaxseed oil. Pumpkin seed is going to provide some, as well as things like chia seeds, omega-3, there's some omega-3 fortified eggs now out there that you can do. And then also canola oil is a source of omega-3 as well. So that would be something that you could do, but ultimately omega-3 is something that you can take. I would try and get one that is been third party third-party tested, though. So USP Labs can test it, or why am I blanking out on it? NSF Certified for Sport is another good option. Ultimately, because I can provide you with a supplement, and I can tell you that it has a certain amount of nutrition in it, but it may not necessarily have that. So the big issue was in New York a couple of weeks ago or a month ago or so, where their administration up there went to, you know, several different major stores that we would all get, you know, our groceries from, or drugs or pharmaceuticals from, and they tested their herbs there. So herbal supplements, so ginseng and whatever else. And ultimately they found that, I think it was like 19 out of 26 or something like that, ultimately didn't have any of the ingredients that it actually said it had on the label. So going to somewhere like Walmart or Walgreens, they were getting products like that, and ultimately it didn't have anything it actually said it had in there. So getting it actually third-party tested would be an ideal option if you were going to pick a supplement. So that way you know whatever you're consuming is actually whatever's on the label is actually what you're consuming.
All right. You guys got anything else there?
One of the things, like you talk about like planning meals, and real quick, and it's like for a guy like Jose who's not even really eating breakfast or lunch, you talk about the protein powder. I think one of the things what makes that even more popular is that it's very convenient. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is get your GNC shaker bottle, toss it in, and then essentially it's a meal replacement. That's how they look at it. So something like a meal. Yeah. So something like a meal replacement shake, I mean, would that essentially be better than nothing, but it wouldn't be ideal, obviously. So what would be something to go along with that?
So I don't think it'd be ideal, but I think if you can do that, there's no reason why you know, if you're going to have a shake, usually that means you're going to have that shake with some sort of liquid, right? So mm-hmm. usually for a lot of us, that means it's going to be milk. Mm-hmm. Well, so if you can have the shaker with, or the shake with milk, then why can't you just have the milk itself and just have a double portion of it?
Yeah, that's
so
what,
that,
yeah.
So that would be kind of my substitute sort. Or instead of having a shaker with protein powder and milk, maybe I would have milk with yogurt. Okay, so now you've doubled up on your protein that way. So you've still matched the content of that protein powder, and you provided yourself with a little bit more filling of fullness. And if you could throw some fruit in there, now you've hit a home run between.
Yeah, I think there's just a market behind it, like that's perception.
It's the viewing of, really, I can just walk up and do it, versus they can do the same thing she said, like, yeah, I can scoop peanut butter too, so in that same time.
Yeah.
But it's just how it's viewed, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big thing for high school athletes is more is always better. And with protein powders, it's usually more. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the big thing I try and hit with them is that 15 to 20 grams is more than enough for most of them for a meal. So if they can do that 4 or 5 times a day, then they're doing pretty well in terms of protein content. And so, you know, lunch and dinner, that's easy enough to do. If you can have 3 ounces of meat, you've done it. So now for breakfast, it's just finding yogurt or eggs or milk, and you're pretty much good to go.
All right, so Rita, I got a quick question.
Sure.
At the Fairmont store, that's where we would normally shop, they have the in-store cooking display. So there's that lady that's always...
Cooking Connection, yes.
Yeah, so she's always cooking meals. So how nutritionally sound are the meals that she's cooking?
I'm going to say you have to ask each chef at that store mm-hmm. what the ingredients are. So they do print up the small recipe cards, and be your own best advocate to see what's in the ingredients for those meals. As part of the dietitian for HEB, I am working on getting better or nutritious products into those recipes. But each chef has the leeway to create what they want. But when I do my grocery tours, for example, Cooking Connection is one of the stops on the tours. So a lot of the spices there and the rubs, some of them have no fat, or they're very low fat, low sodium. So there are options out there. Mm-hmm. So I kind of make it a game and have people pick up things and look at the labels regarding what their needs are and kind of go from there. So if that chef is using cream, like, can you use a little less cream? How much cream are you using? Can you use that yogurt to thin it out? Can you use milk? Can you use lower fat milk? What kind of cheese are you doing? So I know budgets are also in their minds as well, but I'm always trying to push to get more nutritious options in the recipes that they're creating. So
yeah. How do they do, you know, what's the process for doing a grocery store tour? So who can do that, and how do they go about doing that?
Yep. So with HEB, that's one of the services I provide. But, you know, in Houston, we have close to over 100 stores now, and there's only one dietitian. So if Brett wanted to come into the store, I could set him up at that location, just make sure that store leadership knows that he's going to be there. And you can bring in your own clients if you wanted to.
But the only thing is, because I'm on board now, we would just have to work together to make sure that I'm not in the store while you're providing your service. But yeah, we welcome that, because that's, you know, where the education is, or that's where it should be at the point of purchase. And there's some research going on right now, is nutrition education that's provided in a store, are there better outcomes versus going to an outpatient mm-hmm. clinical setting? When I worked outpatient, inpatient and outpatient at the hospital, my customers, or my patients at the time, would always say, well, you've given me a meal plan, told me what to do, but he's going to go shopping with me and he's going to cook with me. So now I can do it all, hopefully. So
are you located only at one HEB, or do you...
I'm my own travel team, so right now I'm the only dietitian. Hopefully we'll have more. So today I'll be here in this area. I'll be at Summerwood in a little bit. Then I'm going to end up at Buffalo Speedway. And then tomorrow I'm at two other locations.
How
so,
do we find you? Travel
yes.
everywhere.
So great question. So you can go to www.heb.com/nutrition. You can find me that way. I'm also on Twitter at Rita Zapien, or you can just email me as well. So we're trying to move everything online. I know you talked about ordering food online. Mm-hmm. We are moving to e-commerce. Right now you can order from the bakery, the deli, and wine, floral, but we're trying to push it a little further. We're coming up with a mobile app. Oh. So you can refill your prescriptions, find recipes, get coupons, specify it for a certain store to see your weekly ad. So that's going to be amazing. I'm waiting for that. So
you said heb.com/nutrition?
Nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our nutrition services launched last April, so we're coming up on a year. So hopefully we'll have some help for me. So. Yeah, but if any other dietitians wanted to host grocery store tours, you can bring in your own group, and then I'll just help you schedule that at the store that you prefer.
So it wouldn't be just me saying, oh, hey, I'm going to take my kids on a field trip. I would need to be a dietitian to schedule that tour.
No, you wouldn't need to be a dietitian. Just make sure you get permission from the store leadership, just so that they know that you're there. Because, you know, sometimes when you go into the supermarket on a Sunday or Monday evening, Saturday.
Super packed.
It's crazy, right? So we just want to make sure that there's enough room for your group and then also for the customers that are shopping. I try and cap the tours or groups to about 10 participants.
Is there a fee behind your service?
There are fees for nutrition services, and a lot of people ask why. But as Brett and I can attest to, with all the initials behind his name and my name, all the years of schooling, the expertise, you know, the registrations, the licensure, we're nutrition experts. So you're not just going to a store down the street trying to buy a supplement or a protein powder. So that's what I remind people, that they're getting a nutrition expert who's been in this field for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And you have access to us. So there are fees. Those fees are listed online as well. Great questions.
But, I mean, that's really unique, though, because I don't know of any other grocery store that does that other than HEB that has actual dietitians there. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have that kind of background and understanding of it, have that source.
Yeah, it's pretty new for our field, I would say. If you're from the Midwest or the Northeast, if you've shopped at Meijer, Giant Eagle, or Hy-Vee, or ShopRite, some of those chains have a dietitian in every store. So that's what the trend hopefully will be in the next few years, that you don't have to drive to a medical center or somewhere 15, 20, 10 miles away. You can go to your local supermarket, have your pharmacist, your dietitian. So we're working on that. I don't know if we'll get a dietitian in every store, but that's the model that's occurring right now in some of the retailers. So it's pretty awesome. I love it. I can make my own schedule. I can work weekends. I can take Mondays off, go shopping, those kinds of things. So I like meeting people in new places. And I'm not anchored to one store or one neighborhood. So that's why I like it. And I was an HEB shopper before I came on board. So I believe in the company. So that's why I'm there.
Very cool. I honestly had no idea you could take a tour of the grocery store. So that may be something I can, just a simple field trip, I can do it. You know, these sports med kids, hey, we've gone through this, we've talked about this, and now let's go see, you know, we set it up. And
yeah, you can bring in your students. And then for the smaller kids in elementary, we have HE Buddy Tours. Mm-hmm. And they can pet a lobster. You know, we talk about the My Plate, how to choose better foods and things like that. So I like to do scavenger hunts when I'm working with Girl and Boy Scout troops. I've done tours for kids with children with diabetes, type 1 and type 2. And I make it a game. Okay, I need you to find this on the shelf with this amount of fiber. Or what can you find in the market area? Ask the salesperson which is the best-selling fish and why are people asking for it. So I try and make a game out of it versus just talking to them, because you need to make it interesting.
Yeah, you can create food. You can, you know, if you want to test them on what we talked about today, you can ask them to create their own meal find three different food groups or three or more food groups for less than $5 and create a meal with that. And that's an easy enough thing to do. And then you can compare that $5 meal versus the $5 mm-hmm. of Jack in the Box that they bought earlier. And how much more food would you get out of that?
Some of the groups I've worked with, I'll have them buy the store brand for maybe 15 items, then do the same thing with national brands. We'll go to the checkout and we'll compare the total price. And they see the savings, especially if you're looking at your budget or if you're a senior that's fixed income. It starts adding up after a while. And that's another thing we do with our staff meetings at HEB periodically. All the leaders will take family scenarios based on a certain amount of money that they have or their Lone Star, their WIC benefits. And we have to shop on a budget. So we'll go to a store. These are leaders of HEB because these are the people that are in our stores a lot of times. But someone forgot to buy bread, or you didn't buy toilet paper, or maybe dad wants some cigarettes. So all of those factor into that family's budget and lifestyle. It's real life.
Very cool. All right, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to ask for your takeaway. So we'll start with Nicole here in just a second. So you're kind of like your one big point from today, something that you learned, didn't know, or something that kind of just was really reinforced today. So I'll do that in just a second. So again, I'm going to throw Brett out there. He is at bsinger10, at bsinger10 on Twitter. He didn't give me his website information. Do you have personal website information?
I do not have personal website, but we're at memorialherman.org is our website.
Okay. All right. So ironman.memorialherman.org. And I have all this other information listed in the show notes there. And then Rita already told us heb.com/nutrition, or on Twitter, she's at Rita, RitaZapien, Rita Zapien. And then her information there as well. Do you have a personal website or just the HEB nutrition?
Just heb.com.
heb.com/nutrition. All right. So now we're going to go back to Nicole. Takeaway. Yes.
Okay. Well, I would have to say the one thing that kind of stuck with me was the fact that non-brand items are just as comparable as brand items. So there's no true need to buy brand name items.
All right.
Oh, and happy National Athletic Training Month.
Very cool.
One of the things I think it's a big thing, and since it's popular with high school students, is the meal skipping. Don't skip the meal just because you can't quite think of something that's convenient to make. Find something. There's always something that you can eat for a mealtime. That's probably the biggest thing I think that we established today as well. And happy National Athletic Training Month.
All right, Brett, do you have any takeaways for today?
I mean, I think it just reinforced to me that, I mean, you asking some of your students questions that I know I get to work with high school students pretty frequently, but to hear them say it themselves, like I didn't have anything for lunch, and I didn't have anything for breakfast either, is just kind of reinforcement that there is a big learning curve for high school students, and they don't have to be perfect, but we just need to get the ball rolling on taking in something, just getting into the habit of having something from home.
All right, Rita.
I think along the same lines, actually hearing it from the students, there are nutrition deficits, whether that's on education, skills, and what have you, and it really needs to transfer back to the home and from when they're younger. I know I didn't get any nutrition education in, you know, high school, really. So again, starting from when they're young, making it approachable and easy and fun, and happy National Nutrition Month as well.
Okay.
So thank you,
John. Yeah, and I'm really glad that you brought the food and we were able to show the kids. And it's like you said, I didn't realize y'all did store tours, because you know we do this stuff talking here, and then they leave, and it's like, oh, okay. But if I was able to take them and say, okay, look, let's do this. Let's, you know, here's $5. Even if I gave them $5, all right, you got $5. Go buy a meal. We'll go. You know, you can take it home and cook it, or you know, just theoretical $5. But that is a really cool idea, and it's something anywhere can take their kids and do, whether there's a registered dietitian or not, as long as they speak with the store. So just making it real, because that food here is a lot different than just talking about, yeah, I could have brought peanut butter, I could have brought bananas, but no, there's $27 worth of groceries sitting right here that could feed a family of five for a couple of days, and they just don't realize, and it's healthy. And so just the concreteness, that really struck me. I knew that they skip meals. I ask them that stuff all the time. I'm like, dadgum it, you guys, you're ridiculous. But just the concreteness of having that here. So I'm really glad you guys came. I'm really glad you brought that. And then just we got the conversation. So
thank you.
Final thoughts? No? All right. So again, Brett on Twitter at bsinger10. Rita on Twitter is at Rita Zapien. And then their information there is in the show notes. Memorial Herman is the one that provides the backdrop. They do a lot of support. Obviously, Brett here has been out two times. Have you been here two times?
Yeah, two times with you. And then I did it at Bob Marley's conference with you last year, too.
Right. And so, and actually, Penny Wilson, she is now in Colorado, I believe. Uh-huh. She used to be a registered dietitian for Memorial Hermann, and she was the Ironman spokesperson or something like that. But she came on here twice, and then she recommended Brett. So she was the first person I ever remember recommending a guest for me. And so Penny, or Dr. Wilson, I want to thank you for recommending Brett. And now that we've built a relationship there, so I'm glad to have Brett as somebody I can call on or talk to easily. So now that I've added Rita, Miss Zapian, to my team is of people that I can call on as well. So if you want to check out the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, almost every single Wednesday we're live, or you can join the conversation by following all the links there. Again, on Twitter, I'm at PHS Sports Med, and usually the kids are following hashtag TheSMB to see your comments. You can earn CEUs by logging in, watching live, and making comments there. And if you have those comments there, then I can read them and ask them, so you can have your specific questions answered. So for Jeremy, my sports med one kids that are already left, say your name.
Okay, Rita.
Brett.
Matt.
Nicole.
Sorry, I should have warned you. We should have practiced that before.
I'm hard of hearing.
That's a wrap.